I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo! All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is the safe space up here for you out there who are independent thinkers and just want to take a look at, objective look at the news without any love or loyalty to any politician or any party. We just call them like we see them here. Definitely a kind of a different thing for conservative talk radio because we come at it from a different angle. It's a very, very strange time to be in talk radio. I've never seen probably in 2020. It's been one of the more difficult years that I've had being on the air for just a few years and trying to deal with COVID and really make sense of what's going on. And, you know, I hope everybody had a nice weekend. I hope all you sane people out there took some time and spent some time with family. I don't know. Are we sick of family by now? Now there's a lot of people that have spent unprecedented amounts of time with their people. I was talking to a buddy on the phone last night about the statistics that are rolling in. We're waiting to see. I haven't really seen any reports yet of if we're going to have a whole new, you know, a big surge in COVID kids. That was my first suspicion around COVID, is that we were going to see a lot of pregnancy, so much so that it would be kind of along the lines of a baby boomer type thing, except a very short, very noticeable peak in births in this country due to all of the shutdowns. But it may actually be the other way around. We may actually see more COVID divorces, judging by the headlines I've seen now. Who could have guessed that spending all that time with your loved one may actually have been quite a negative? I know for one thing for sure, over the past few months, you have kind of figured out, particularly if you were young in your marriage, if you haven't been married for very long, you've figured out if you married the right person. I think you've got it's kind of a relationship accelerator if you have been trapped in a home to some varying degrees. I saw some tweets of people that were saying they had not left a two-bedroom or a one-bedroom studio in some of these big cities for, I think one of them said, 154 days. This is all deliveries of groceries. Haven't gone to the grocery store. It's things like, yeah, last time I went to the grocery store on, I don't know, March 14th, and that's the last time I got out of the house. I mean, this is just not healthy for us. This is certainly not the case probably largely in Mississippi here, but in some of the more urban areas, particularly the ones that have been so scared of the disease, people have literally been self-quarantining to the point of imprisonment. And if you're doing that with somebody and there is anything about them that bugs you, I'm really surprised we haven't seen more violence in some of the apartments in some of the big cities rather than on the streets. But we've certainly seen a lot on the streets. The protests and riots have ruled across the country. It is really hard to keep in mind protests that have happened before. And I did it again this weekend after looking at some of the riots, some of the stuff that's going on in Portland. I went back again and did another YouTube search to find footage of the riots in the 1960s to make myself feel better. Because as it stands right now, I just don't see how this thing ends, but I have to believe and I have to think that it will end. And I got to tell you, if these things continue for three more months to any varying degree of civil unrest in this country, and then we head into the November election, the November elections is probably going to kick off a whole new round of things. I don't know about you, but I am dreading. There's a lot of people who are enthusiastic about getting rid of Trump or very enthusiastic about Trump getting another four more years. And so maybe you're excited about Election Day. I am not. That is going to open up what I believe is going to be a whole new can of worms in terms of lawsuits and challenges. If there's mail-in voting, there's going to be a lot of lawsuits. Apparently, there's already hundreds of lawsuits going on around the country right now just in anticipation of levels of voter fraud or voter disenfranchisement on both sides of the aisle. The attorneys are already swamping the court system and circuit clerks ahead of this thing. I cannot imagine right now, and hopefully I am so horribly wrong. You know, so often you look at things and you say, you anticipate how bad they could be, whether it's in your personal life or whether it is on a, you know, kind of on a political or in a news cycle. You just imagine how terrible things could be. And not usually that bad, but we live in some really, really strange times. And I'm not really sure if we're smart enough to get out of this. Were we smarter in the late 1960s, you know, intellectually? With our IQs. I mean, I've got stories today and stories that I run across. I don't know as a people if we're smart enough to extricate ourselves from this. On Friday, I saw these two stories. And I was a little, the first one is kind of good because it shows it's not just Americans. This is somewhat of a worldwide phenomenon of people really just so easily frightened. Overreacting, I guess, is the only word I can say. I saw this on Friday. Japanese people, they had some large protests in Japan. This was reported on Friday, so the protests were either on Friday or Thursday of last week. People in Japan had taken to the streets to protest. What do you think they were protesting? Black Lives Matter? No, it wasn't that. It wasn't economic fallout. It wasn't protesting stay-at-home orders. There were people, and it looked like fairly large crowds in Japan, were protesting the Olympics. The Olympics that start in 1 year from now. And Japanese people were taking to the streets out of fear that they didn't need to hold the Olympics a year from now due to COVID. And then I saw one here with an accompanying story, and it wasn't a great story to clip. It's a little bit more visual than it is audio. But NBC ran a news story. And at the bottom of the screen, the little banner said, "New research." This is on Friday. Again, how long have we been in this coronavirus hysteria since March, early March? So what was that, April, May, June, just 4 months? 4 months we've been in this. This is NBC at the end of last week. "New research. Masks should be worn over the mouth and the nose." And they hit the streets. It looked like they were in possibly New York City. And they find people walking down the street with their mask either down around their chin, or some people were walking around with it with their nose hanging out of this mask. And they would approach people and say, "Hey," in a very annoying manner. I'm surprised they didn't get popped a couple of times. New Yorkers probably got to be on the edge of having dealt with this probably more severely than most people. "Hey, did you know that you're wearing your mask wrong? Why don't you put it up over your nose?" Now, there was one woman who said, and this is the crazy thing, she said, "I've been at work all day, it's hot, and I can't breathe." This is what we are putting people through with these mask mandates. But there were a couple of people that just kind of went, "Oh," you know, and they grabbed the front of the mask and pulled it up over their nose. Are we really to a point in this society where people don't understand that the nose is a pathway for a virus? Did people really believe they were stopping the virus by covering their mouth but leaving their nose? Have they noticed that the test for coronavirus, they swab anyone, your nose? And again, this is 4 months into it. NBC runs a story, and it says, "New research, masks should be worn over the mouth and the nose." And I got to tell you, I get just about every day that goes by now, I am a little bit closer to moving out into the woods. Now, I love my friends. I love my family. I'll certainly let them know where I am, and I'll try to make sure I've got plenty of room for them to come visit. And I'll come into town to see them, and I'll take vacations with friends and family. I really am kind of a people person. You sit me down with any individual, I've been showing a house recently. I've been interacting with a lot of people in real estate. When they come in, generally they're there for an hour, and about 30 minutes of that is looking at the house, and about 30 minutes is spent in some general conversation. I'm kind of interested in the real estate business. I'm kind of interested in what they do. I'm kind of interested in where they're, you know, I do talk to people. I like people. But on a group level, when people congeal themselves into almost any group outside maybe of an employment situation where everybody's just trying to make money and accomplish a goal of feeding people or putting out a product or something like that. But these, some of the associations, whether it is the mask people or the anti-mask people, the Trump people or the anti-Trump people, the Republicans or the Democrats, the right or the left, it doesn't, when people get into large groups, they lose their minds. And I've gotten to the point where I'm not sure I'm long for this society if people continue to get in these bizarre, random groups of people. We'll talk more about some of the protests and some of the other things later. When you want to talk about just absolute absurdity and group insanity, if you watch some of the footage from these things, there's also, I saw a story, Walmart has had to, well, I tell you what, that was a little hyperbolic. People were seen, it's on Drudge Report today, people in a Walmart in Nazi masks, swastika masks. And I'm saying, I'm not sure if we are smart enough to get out of what we've gotten ourselves into now, but I guess we'll see. You got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. What you got?
Hey, I'd like to add to your mask scenario there, people not wearing their mask properly.
Yeah.
I want to give you some food for thought. So, your eyes are a mucous membrane.
Yeah.
Agree?
Right.
Okay. So if you're in a building where there's low air movement, low air exchange, such as a house, an office, a bank, a bar, a restaurant, whatever, you know, other than a lab or a place like that has really high air exchange, or outside where there's plenty of air movement, if you were in a room and a person sneezed or coughed or simply talked or sang,
yeah, sang. Right.
Your mouth, uncovered without a mask, is emitting aerosol vapor into the air. And if you're positive for coronavirus or any other germ, that's floating in the air for a period of time. All you simply have to do is walk through that without eye covering, and you got it. So a mask over your mouth and your nose and eyes exposed is about as useless as hits on a boar hog.
Well, I tell you what, I absolutely agree with you. I'm scared to make that point on air. I'm a little scared if anybody of any importance hears that on air. We may be full goggles before this thing is over.
Well, I think that's why the media and the medical world have not really dove very deep into that. So I ask you this question. Be honest. Are you more prone to put your finger in your mouth, your nose, or your eye?
Eye, by a long shot.
Okay, so let's say there is not coronavirus floating in the air, and you can walk through it with your eye, but it is on your countertop.
Right.
Or your steering wheel, or a doorknob, and you touch it, and it's now on your hand, and you're doing whatever you're doing, and all of a sudden something gets in your eye, and you rub your eye. Guess what just happened?
Yeah.
You just infected yourself through your eyeball.
Yep. Yeah, at the full goggles, full hazmat suit. I'm not sure what we're going to end up with. I just saw.
I don't know. I've read one article that talked about this in terms of parts per million in the air and the contagion rate through your mouth, your nose versus your eye. And it's absolutely staggering. Just thought I'd share that with you and your cousin.
What are you saying that the eye was the main transmission point?
The easiest. Because in terms of your mouth,
right,
that germ has to deal with saliva and digestive system. Well, good Lord gave you a filtration unit built into your nose. That's its job. So it was a little easier, based on this study, to contract nasally versus orally. But they discovered that because your eye is completely unfiltered, simply touching your eye with an infected finger was way easier to contract versus the other two methods, nasally or orally.
Well, I think the final piece of the puzzle then is they'll get a mask over our mouth and nose, and if they can get a blindfold on us, they will have accomplished exactly what they wanted to do.
I'll give you one more tidbit, and I'll let you go. I talked to a gentleman recently that had a family reunion, 4th of July. They had 16 people at their reunion from multiple states. Somebody brought COVID to their party. They don't know who. But of the 16 people, 9 went home the next week positive. 7 that did not have it all have one thing in common. Can you guess what it is?
Blood type.
They all wear eyeglasses.
Ah, very interesting. Huh, all right.
Yep.
Helpful tip. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate the call. That is interesting. You know, there was the NBC reporter. Actually, he's not a reporter. He's like one of the medical correspondents to NBC, and he came on a few months ago and talked about flying on a thing. You know, he is a big, you know, getting us everybody all nice and scared of COVID, and flew on a plane. He might have actually been an infectious disease doctor. I can't remember what this guy does. But anyway, he ended up with COVID, and he said that he was on the plane. He had his mask on. He properly applied over his, always washing his hands and doing his stuff, but he didn't wear goggles. And this is where he said he got it through his eyes. Problem with that story ended up being that about 2 months later, after we had seen many, many pictures of him lying in a hospital bed, looking like he was at death's door wrestling with his disease, he never once tested positive for COVID, so nobody actually knows what was wrong with him. I don't know. Strange, strange times. But I don't know. Maybe I need to swap in my contacts for eyeglasses. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Tell you, if the world was not weird enough already with everything that's going on, I mean, 2020 is turning out to be a doozy. Who would have thought a couple of hurricanes would be kind of nice, refreshing, normal news for us? Texas apparently got a lot of rain, a little bit of damage, but these are the times that make you kind of want to hear about just a regular old run-of-the-mill hurricane. But to make 2020 even a little bit weirder was this story at the end of last week.
This woman says she didn't remember ordering anything from China.
I hope that it's nothing too serious.
The label said earrings, but something else was inside.
Well, obviously they're not jewelry. And I opened them up and they were seeds.
But why would they?
I am starting to wonder if there's anything psychologically happening to us with this mask wearing too. Just when you listen to these, and it's in just about every clip I play now or anything that we look at that's current news, these people talking through a mask, it's like taking away our voice to a degree. It's that muffled. You can hear a mask in the audio. You can't see people smile. You can't breathe as well in a mask. I mean, I think there's some real consequences to masks, but there's something about it just even in the interview stuff. When I hear it, I'm a little bit turned off.
There be mislabeled seeds from
packages.
China in her mailbox.
And in my dog?
She didn't think much of it at first. Then she found out this is something the State Department of Agriculture is investigating seriously. And she got some stern advice.
Just don't throw them in the garbage. Don't plant them. Don't touch them.
Plants and seeds in Utah are regulated strictly, which is why agents with Customs and Border Protection could also become involved in the investigation.
So this is apparently going on in different states around the country. They have gotten unsolicited seeds from China just out of the blue. Now, something marked jewelry, this is something that's done all the time. If you want something to avoid going through customs, look, I'll be honest with you, people, companies will send things into the country and just mislabel it so it's not inspected as some kind of a food thing. But it is kind of odd. And, you know, here's the thing about these kinds of stories that I'm really aware of is that this may be something that goes on every single year. Who knows if there's some weird Chinese outfit that tries to get people to buy their seeds? I don't know, but it is an odd story. Is China trying to sabotage us by getting some kind of a bizarre plant planted, some invasive species. That's quite a diabolical plot. The first thing I thought was, is this possibility that this is some kind of a pod plant where everybody goes to sleep one night after these plants grow? We are changed. The pod grows. There's the Chinese, the very willing communist replica of us, much like the classic invasion of the body snatchers. So we don't know. But again, 2020 just can't get much more weird than it already has. I will say, to add a little humor to things, though, when it comes to coronavirus, I was not here on Friday, but the first pitch that Anthony Fauci did for the Washington, what are they, the Washington Generals? Is that what they are? That was so wildly off base, was so appropriate. Now, I've said, I believe 2019, I believe this was last year, I'm always looking for that story that really, that one thing that really symbolizes the year. And I think it was last year, the guy that was naked in a ladies' room at a McDonald's, and he was doing jumping jacks. Because 2019, I thought 2019 was an insane year until we got to 2020. But Anthony Fauci so badly missing home plate with his first pitch, maybe that may be the one that carries the day in 2020 as badly as Anthony Fauci. And what's stunning to me, too, on these things, there's still such a large majority of people who still hold him in such high regard. They don't really understand kind of his background, the profit he has over this kind of disease. Also, the fact that he's in these agencies like CDC and NIH, which, I mean, at the very least, how anybody can blame Donald Trump for any deficiencies they've seen in the response to coronavirus? How anybody can blame Donald Trump, a single human being who's been a real estate developer and a reality show host for most of his life, and give a pass to the guy who's supposed to have been in charge of this whole thing, of getting the United States prepared for all of these things? He has been in office for 40 years, and basically one of his only jobs was, hey, prepare the United States in case of some kind of a pandemic. That's been his whole job for 40 years. So whether you think the response was good or bad in this country, either way, but if you think it's bad, either that we did too much or we did too little, doesn't matter which side of the COVID debate you were on, if you're unhappy with the response, he's the guy. And somehow he has been able to, I mean, people have been able to mentally transfer all of the responsibility onto Donald Trump if they're unhappy about this. Trump doesn't know what he's saying. He's relying on the CDC. I've talked about it a million times, that the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, and the CDC get $50 billion a year. Anthony Fauci has been swimming in taxpayer cash for something like 30 or 40 years. So if there's any criticism to be had, it should be at Anthony Fauci, yet he's still some kind of a rock star in this country, throwing out the first pitch. It's, again, it's just bizarre. I don't know if it's because I look at things so differently than everybody else. I know there's a lot of conservatives that are not happy with Anthony Fauci. A lot of us who do not believe in the shutdown of society are not fans of Anthony Fauci. But I don't understand, for people who are in favor of shutting everything down, in favor of restrictions, in favor of masks, in favor of all these things, how you cannot look at Anthony Fauci and not see him as a massive failure is absolutely beyond me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. You want to weigh in on anything we cover today. Very interesting during the news break. If you're listening on the podcast, you don't hear the news breaks. They were just reporting the number of people, I guess, in some level of a poll on vaccine usage. They said 30% said that they would take a vaccine when it was immediately available. 50% said they wouldn't rush out to do it, but they might end up taking one. And then 20% said they would under no circumstances take a vaccine. That's actually very interesting to me. I would have guessed, if you had asked me, I would have said 70-75% of people would be rushing out the door to get this vaccine the day that it launches. After what we have seen, that's actually a kind of encouraging thing to me, just because it means that everybody's not just sitting around waiting for Bill Gates to save us all. Actually, I've got some news on that. I don't know if I'll have time to get to it today or not, but that's interesting. So 30% of the people would rush out and get one. 50% said, I might get around to it. We'll see. I think with that 50% that said maybe, I think what they're saying is, let's see what happens to that first 30% first. I'm going to sit back. I know there's a lot of people excited about it. Let's see what happens to the 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 million people who line up to get an experimental vaccine, essentially. The first vaccine rushed through the approval process. I'll watch them for a little while, too. Maybe a lot of spouses who are mad at each other after this quarantine, having to spend too much time with each other, will try to encourage each other to go get the vaccine, and then they can watch within their household how it affects somebody. That's pretty interesting. I think that's rather encouraging. You know, that the coronavirus is now, this is not the cult. Here's the problem I have with doing coronavirus here is that I don't have a camp to sit in. Not, there's two camps like everything else in this country. It's always, you know, the people lining up in different corners and ready to come out when the bell rings to fight each other about this stuff. I'm not it's a hoax or it's just a cold. I don't believe that. I think it's serious. I think it's something people should pay attention to. I think some people are very vulnerable to it. There's some really weird stories that means that it could strike somebody seemingly healthy and take them down. On the other hand, I know that they're pumping up some of the death numbers by counting things weird ways. And this is not the end of the world, and I don't think you should crush small business owners across the United States because maybe one city is experiencing a spike. This one size fits all. It's really the core of the show. It's why you can't run a country of 330 million people from one city, Washington, D.C. And I've got a story about that in just a second. They're talking now about another national shutdown. National. Which is so ridiculous. And who's behind it? It's health authorities and healthcare providers. Have you people lost your minds? I know this is hard on you. God love you for being in the trenches on this thing. But you don't know what it's like to try to feed your family when there's no money rolling in, when your business is closing, when you've dedicated 20 years of your life to a business and you have to watch it just wither on the vine in front of you. Have a little sympathy, not only for the health of people, but from the people that have spent 20 years, 30 years with the business. I mean, in some cases, 80 years a business has been open. It's suddenly closed now. There's a consequence to that, too. So I'm not in the hoax camp. I'm not in the we're all going to die camp. And I also have this weird thing about me, which is I accept risk in life. I mitigate the risks that I have to my life. I don't want diabetes. So I've studied the kinds of things that cause diabetes. And I avoid those things voluntarily. And so far, I have avoided getting diabetes, been able to maintain a good, healthy weight for my age. And so I mitigate risk all of the time. When it rains really hard, I don't drive as fast. But I know every time I walk out the door, there's a possibility of something happening. And I remember back in college, one of just the greatest guys in my fraternity, dropped dead one day after a flag football game. It was so tragic. And talk about a shock. I think at the time he might have been 21 or 22 years old. He had some undiagnosed heart thing. It was just absolutely, and it doesn't, it's not to belittle that death or that tragedy. We were all heartbroken. I mean, this is just, this was one of those guys that just everybody loved, you know. It was just very, very tragic. But I know that every day you wake up, there's not a guarantee that you go to bed that night. It doesn't mean that it's not tragic. You don't try to mitigate those risks. But life is full of risks. And we'll get into the numbers on that in just a second, because another whack job took some action during the country and the hysteria on this stuff, too, that needs to be examined. I got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Two things. One, going back to the percentages on the vaccine of people that would take it and those that would run out to get it and some that'll wait and some that'll obviously the never vax, you know.
Yeah.
The high, in my opinion, the 50% that will wait, a lot of that is based on, and I'm certainly in that category, maybe the never. I would.
Right. Yeah, me too. With. Right.
There's enough people out there with enough sense looking at it going, well, you know, I know people that get a flu shot every year and still get a flu. I know people that
exactly.
haven't eradicated the flu. How the hell are we going to eradicate something we don't even know what causes?
Yeah, and a coronavirus is the same thing that causes the, you know, the common cold, and that's like the big joke. You can put a man on the moon, but you can't cure the common cold. I mean, we haven't been able to come up with a vaccine for the cold and the cold, you know, and now well, they're already talking about this shot. Well, it looks like you may have to take many of these shots, you know, definitely probably won't be one dose for sure. So is this going to be another annual shot? Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think people are just looking at this and going, we need to let this thing, it's going to go away. We need to tough it out.
Well, and that goes back to, you know, yes, you've got so many, there's, it's such a high percent. I'm just blown away every day by the number of people who are just solidly believing that this is nothing but a hoax and a get Trump.
Yeah, that is not true.
That's the people that are hollering, well, it'll go away on November the 4th or 5th, whatever the day after the election is.
Right.
We won't hear nothing. That may be right. I don't know.
It won't go away. I mean, obviously, the disease doesn't know any date, but right. The media may stop talking about it very much after that. I mean, I don't. And here's the thing. Everything is so nuanced, and we don't have any more nuance in society anymore. No political discussion, no rational discussion anymore. Nothing. It's all black and white. The media will use this to try to hurt Donald Trump. The Democrats will use this to hurt Donald Trump. But that doesn't explain them shutting down. You know, it doesn't explain why England just said they're not taking any tourists from or taking anybody in from Spain. That is not to get Donald Trump. You know, I mean, this is bigger than that.
That's what I tell people is, okay, maybe are there some politicians' political gain trying to be used by it? Sure. But the truth of the matter is there is a problem, or you can't get all of these healthcare professionals hollering that the hospitals are full and you know, wanting to do shutdown to get Donald Trump. That's not their. But what amazes too is the healthcare people that their only answer is, well, we need to just shut everything down.
Yeah.
No, it's not the only answer. How about talking to people about working on their immune system?
No.
How about we talk about preventive measures and not corrective measures?
Now, apparently,
let's prevent the problem and not react after the problem, you know, and that might prevent, but that goes back to the healthcare people are not in the curing business, they're in the treating business.
Well, you know, it's like parents to a degree. You know, I mean, I've had kids, and you worry about your kids, and I had to make a decision, you know, as my children got up on 2 feet, from the time really they got up on 2 feet until the time they graduated from high school, I had a lot of decisions where I had to make where I went, okay. They're driving now. Do I let them go and pick up their friends on a Friday night? Because, look, they're safer sitting at the house. But you know what? they're also 16-year-old kids, and I remember being a 16-year-old kid, and they need to socialize, and they need to get out there and start exploring the world. They need to get on the interstate. They need to take that road trip to start getting, you know what I mean? It's like, and doctors are treating us like infants. Like, we can't accept, you know, we can't accept any risk, and they don't understand the consequences of all of these shutdowns, because they're not, by and large, business people. They're not small business owners. They're academics. They're constantly getting checks. I made decisions that put my children's life at risk every day, but it was because it was part of normal life. I would let my son climb a tree because that's something that he needs to learn how to do, and I hoped he didn't fall. And one day he broke his arm, and I took him to the hospital, and we got his arm set, and all that went on. But we can't live in this bubble like we can't, like we're so fragile. We cannot do that. And the medical establishment is trying to take us to that nth degree. I understand that their whole focus might be within their minds, keeping people safe, keeping people alive, keeping all of these things going on. But there's no balance to their view.
Well, and it goes back to the same thing that, you know, with our children. We want our children to grow up to be wise and experienced and smart people. Well, those wisdom and experience comes from making bad decisions.
Right. You're right.
And consequences of our actions cause us to be smarter, or they should. And if somebody's making those choices for you, how in the hell are you going to wind up being smart enough to tie your own shoes?
And it's an infantilization of everybody. It's this illusion of complete safety and not weighing the cost of that. And just the idea, I don't know what this is doing to our children psychologically. It's going to be kind of odd to see. I mean, if you are really in your formative years right now, if you're somewhere between maybe 5 and 10 years old, I don't really know psychologically what this, but this intense fear about a disease, this intense fear of looking at other human beings like they may infect you, and kind of creating this idea that everybody is some kind of a potential danger to you, I think is going to be psychologically damaging to kids particularly. Apparently adults are psychologically damaged by it too.
Well, and it, you know, it goes, you're fixing to see just mass hysteria whenever they open the schools back up, or whenever that's going to be. They keep postponing it, keep moving this, keep doing that, and I understand why. But you're going to see I don't know what the hell is going to happen when these people have to really, when it's time to fish or cut bait as far as putting kids back in.
I think it's going to be a start
and
stop.
People are going to die.
I was talking to our station owner a little while ago when I came in, and apparently one of the baseball teams, the MLB teams, have already canceled a game because I think he said 9 or 17 of the players have tested positive.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to see just for forever. It's this start, stop, start. Oh, my God, we've got a cluster. Stop. Everybody go home. Everybody test. I mean, they have got college kids right now. Some of the colleges in this country right now are testing the kids every two days for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Every 2 days they're ramming that stuff up their nose to test them for COVID. And then after that, it's 2 times per week they are testing these kids over a disease that I guarantee you more children have died going to and from college in their automobiles than have died from this disease. But that's the approach they're going to take. You're going to see schools open and shut down, open and shut down. I mean, this is going to be absolute chaos in the schools.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, man, thanks for the call. Got to run to a break. Appreciate it. Bye. Talk about true insanity. When I come back, it was the most insane story of the weekend. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
All night with the king.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
You know, I think I've been extremely lucky in my life that the older people, like the senior citizens in my life, have all really been pretty solid people. My grandparents, I didn't know my father's father, but his mother, my meemaw, just the sweetest, kindest lady I've ever known. She's so sweet. My mom's parents, my grandfather was an Episcopal priest and one of the wisest human beings, and it was so lost on me. He died before I really became a fully functioning adult. He died when I was in my early 20s, and I miss that because I probably could have learned so much more from him when I became more philosophical in my life. He was one of these people who just didn't speak much at all, but when he did, he was pretty profound. He listened a lot. He was just a great guy. And I've been sheltered from what goes on in some senior citizens' communities, which is complete insanity. Now, for that, in my life, I have to go to Frank Costanza on Seinfeld. This was George Costanza's dad. He was just a complete nut job. He and his wife both were just insane. And then I did the story a few weeks ago about the parade of Trump supporters through the, I think it's called the Villages in Florida. And so they're all the Trump supporters on their golf carts going through a little parade and all the left-wing senior citizens screaming cuss words at them. And I just realized it's like a whole community of Costanzas. And it's like even senior citizens, I said, this is new to me. I just haven't been exposed to this in my life. The senior citizens in my life have been very normal, kind, fairly wise people, including my parents. My father, who will turn 90 this year. But there was a story that came out this weekend. An elderly woman, white-haired lady, walking through a park, sees a couple eating lunch at a park bench without their masks on, and she maces them. Were they attacking her? No. They were attacking a couple of ham sandwiches. They were eating their lunch, and she goes over so incensed that they're not wearing masks that she maces them unsolicited and then walks away. This is the insanity we're living in. And to think about that for just a second, if you go by the numbers that we are being given, the official numbers, the number of cases in this country is about 1.5% of the population. So that couple sitting at the table, you got to assume they probably weren't experiencing any symptoms. They might not have been out eating lunch at a park bench on having a picnic. The chance of them even having the disease is about 1.5%. They're about 98%, 98.5%, if you're using the numbers. And I'll tell you, I think the case numbers are higher. Imagine the case numbers are triple or quadruple or five times. They've got a 90% chance that they don't even have the disease. They weren't anywhere near this woman. So even if they had it, they weren't right next to her. They weren't shouting in her face. They weren't kissing her. They weren't hugging her. They were eating their lunch at a park bench with each other. So the fact that they were barely even likely to have had it, were not in her area, were exposing nobody to anything, sitting out in the sunshine, and this little old lady with her white hair and her little dog on a leash walks over and maces this couple. This is absolutely insanity. The chances of that elderly woman, and she was wearing a mask, so if that's preventative for her, then she takes the microscopic chance that this couple even had it or that it traveled from their picnic table all the way over to her, and then she's got the mask. Her chances of getting COVID from this couple were zero, yet it didn't stop her from walking over and spraying them with mace. That's where we are.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care.
All right, We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I want to be the good news guy. I think there's a couple of positives that are going to come out of coronavirus. I'm actually kind of impressed with the 70% of people who are not going to rush out to get the vaccine. Not because, I mean, this, they may hit a home run with this vaccine. God knows they should. I heard Moderna today got another $460 million for their thing. The feds are just pumping out cash to the vaccine makers. I wonder if they're really even making anything. They're just messing around, kind of looking over their shoulders and doing a little saline here, saline there, a little something, something here. They're paying some minimum wage employees to look like they're real busy. They're raking in billions of dollars of taxpayer cash. These are all for products that have not been approved for anything. Vaccine makers don't have to put any cash in the game, I guess. I guess they get just play around in their labs for a little while at the taxpayer expense, and then one winner will emerge. This is an election year. Maybe it's tied to campaign donations. You know, I mean, whoever the, you know, Fauci, maybe you got to pay off Fauci. I don't know. We'll see who the winner is. But there are some good things coming out. I ran across this story. Now, I am unabashedly call myself a libertarian. That's a small L libertarian. You want to talk about just a train wreck. The Libertarian Party itself, it has real problems. But I kind of understand it from them. Libertarians are individuals. We don't view people as groups. It's kind of funny when you watch it. You know, if you're in a minority community, if you're in the black community, libertarians are like the only party that don't really care what color or anything. We're not trying to set up special programs or special discriminations. There's just no libertarians actually look at people as individuals. Isn't that the goal of all minority communities? They don't want to be discriminated by their skin color. They just want to be people. The two major parties try to lump everybody in groups and make you this amorphous group. You know, you're either a black American or a white American or an Asian American. You know, we do little policies towards each one of these groups. But as a libertarian, somebody who believes that government should be at the absolute minimal level that it possibly could be, there was one good piece of news out there. As governments worldwide struggle to contain the virus despite long and economically crippling lockdowns imposed on millions of people, a new survey suggests that faith in authorities is dwindling in six rich nations. Populations in France, Germany, Britain, Japan, Sweden, and the U.S. widely believed death and infection figures to be higher than recorded according to the study, which polled 1,000 people in each nation. Now, I'm not of the subscriber that our death numbers are understated. I think they're overstated. But anything that chips away at the idea that a government is going to take care of you is a little bit of a win in my book. If people could only kind of expand their view and understand that not only do the CDC and the NIH and every state government and everybody, I mean, they can't help you. Governments don't do anything well. If you'd start looking at, I mean, I don't know. What do we need to look at? Education? What do you want to look at that any government really is in charge of that does not perform well? So if the reaction to coronavirus makes people go, hey, these institutions don't really work so great, that's fine with me. Anything that chips away at it, even if you're of the opinion that they didn't do enough for COVID, whatever it is, I'm just telling you, governments do not work. They're not filled with the smartest people. I don't want to break that to anybody. I mean, I don't want to bust anybody's bubble. I know a lot of people think somebody that gets more votes than somebody else is suddenly some kind of an overlord to us, that they somehow possess some unique foresight or some unique intellect to rule over all of us. But I hate to tell you, I don't take selfies with politicians because to me, they're my employee. I'm not impressed by much of anything. Now, to get to something in just a second. This was also interesting. This has been a kind of a long-running theme of the Mike Madison Show where I've said, Tea Party, where are they now? I've been asking that for years as we've been seeing trillion-dollar deficits before the COVID even started. And the Tea Party was completely usurped by the Republican Party. Occupy Wall Street was absorbed into the blob of the Democratic Party, and everybody sat down and stood down. for so long. And I've been asking, where's the Tea Party in all this? I'm watching trillions of dollars go to Wall Street right now. In 2008, $700 billion went in these TARP programs, these programs to bail out the banks, and the Tea Party took to the streets. They became the biggest political force in the United States at the time. Now we're doing 10 times that amount, and Tea Party seems to be missing. But I actually saw their name in a story. It says, Tea Party resurgent amid trillion-dollar bailout bills. And here's what the story says. Tea Party conservatives are waking up to the lack of fiscal discipline by the Republican establishment over exploding deficits and another round of economic stimulus, according to The Hill. What's happening today is similar to the Republican backlash in 2008 when they bailed out Wall Street during the financial crash. It's just this time the bailouts dwarfed the ones a decade ago. Well, I'm glad I'm not the only person who noticed that, because it sure felt like it for the past 4 months. We're doing 10 times what they did in 2008. And nobody's even talking about it. Now, the story goes on. A couple of people have got some a little bit of credibility on this. Senator Rand Paul being one of the few there, one of your libertarian-leaning senators in the Republican Party. He said, quote, just came from progressive Democrat, whoops, I mean Republican caucus. This is Rand Paul's quote. The majority of Republicans are now no different than socialist Democrats when it comes to debt. They simply don't care about the debt and are preparing to add at least another $1 trillion in debt this month, combined with the trillions from earlier this summer. Ted Cruz doesn't have quite as much credibility as Rand Paul does on these kinds of things. Ted Cruz has got his own big money things he loves to spend money on, but now he's, and I'm going to tell you why in just a second. Senator Ted Cruz, a Texas Republican, said, quote, hell no, to critical components of McConnell's next stimulus package. Quote, this is the swamp in a feeding frenzy. Everybody's lobbyist has their hand out saying, look, if you're spending trillions of dollars, I want to get some. And it's not right. This is what Ted Cruz said. GOP Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, another politician who was elected during the Tea Party movement a decade ago, told The Hill that Congress shouldn't authorize, quote, a dime more until we've thoroughly taken a look at the $2.9 trillion we've already authorized and figure out what funds have actually been spent. He went on to say, when we were in the minority, we were able to put a brake on Obama's desires, adding that Republican establishment has lost fiscal discipline in recent years. You think? Now, here's one with very little credibility. Senator Rick Scott, a Florida Republican, said the pandemic, quote, shouldn't be used as an excuse to spend his state taxpayers' hard-earned dollars to bail out another poorly managed state budgets. Now, this is my favorite part of the political theater. You know, theater always goes, if you go to a play or some kind of a production, it always goes kind of in acts, right? I'm not a theater person, really, although I got to say, I see theater productions. I say I'm not a theater person, and then I'm invited to go see a play, and I leave the play going, oh, wow, that was really pretty good. But, you know, there's different things. I wish I had a theater person with me. I know, like, the denouement at the end. You know, there's different themes to theatrical productions. This is that part. This is my favorite part of the political theater. This is the part where the Republicans start coming out to pretend like they care about spending. Now, it's pretty predictable when you get to this part of political theater. Let me give you a heads up of when it is. Election years. Yeah. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny the way it works out? Yeah, fiscal discipline. We get a little bit of lip service. You'll hear a Cindy Hyde Smith type thing. I attribute this to her, but I don't know if this was her direct quote or if it was maybe even Roger Wicker. I don't know. We need to have an adult conversation about spending. They'll give little platitudes like that during the course of their term, but it's always during election time. That's the port phase in political theater where they start really caring about the spending. Guess what's going to happen on November 4th? They'll no longer care about the spending. They care about it a little bit at the end of the second act, right before the midterm elections. But at the end of the fourth act, towards the very end of the fourth act, that's when the Republicans get really serious about spending all of a sudden again. It is one of the great one of the great things to behold when you finally kind of wake up to this stuff and realize how disingenuous all of these politicians are on both sides. They get very predictable about things like this. I wouldn't hesitate to think that we are about to see some Republicans come out and say that if you just give us the House back, keep us in charge of the Senate, and reelect Donald Trump, we're going to take down Obamacare. Yeah, right.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I would prefer to talk about the economy a lot more on this show. I just don't know if people are really interested in the behind-the-scenes stuff. I love getting in those conversations with people. I was talking to some real estate people yesterday about houses, and I'm selling an investment property. It's been pretty interesting to listen to what the hedge funds are buying up properties all over the country, which is fascinating. And the reason that they're doing that, a lot of people don't really understand what hedge funds are. They're like mutual funds, but they can invest in a much more broad array of have different investment strategies, a lot of different kinds of assets rather than just buying stocks on the stock market, which although has been a big bet recently, big payday in the stock market. The economy, we got 50 million people that have filed for unemployment. The stock market goes up. That seems about right, doesn't it? Stock market and the economy are completely divergent from each other at this point. The stock market means absolutely nothing to the state of the U.S. economy, yet it is kind of that facade. It's the facade you put on it. Oh, look how great we're doing. You know, they've got a new bailout plan coming out. This next bill, we're going to see it, may get tied up. Apparently, the enhanced employment benefits are going away as of right now. The Democrats and all their generosity with other people's money want to keep paying people an extra $600 a week. I mean, I got to tell you, if you're on the left and if you're getting the money, look, I get it. You don't want that gravy train to stop. Nobody would. But come on. You know we can't do that forever, right? Now, I will tell you, this is my big problem with why conservatives who don't pay attention to the Federal Reserve and all the money printing drive me a little nuts, because the left looks at the money that's being printed up right now and given to Wall Street, to the airlines, to all of the giant corporations, the trillions of dollars. It's kind of difficult for conservatives to ignore that and then have a leg to stand on when you try to tell the left, we don't have money for enhanced unemployment benefits. Because then they go, well, corporations are getting trillions of dollars right now. If you can give them money, why can't you give the people money? That's actually a kind of a good argument. So if you're conservative and you realize the insanity of this enhanced unemployment benefit, it is. It's pure insanity. Even if I was getting it, and I am not, even if I was getting it, I would be talking about how insane it is. At least I would be honest about it. I might want to see it keep going, but at least I would be honest about how insane it is. So if you're on the left, it's insane. You understand the government can't pay everybody. You understand that money comes from other people. You understand the government doesn't actually have any money. Do you know that? Do people even know that? Maybe I've really jumped too far ahead when I cover economic issues here. Maybe we should start at the very beginning. The government doesn't have any money. The government doesn't produce any. They take money from people. They're called taxpayers. And then they give it to other people. Usually called special interest, but occasionally a little bit trickles down to some ordinary people too. The government doesn't actually have money that they don't take away from somebody else first. So hopefully most people on the left can at least be honest about this. But people are losing these enhanced benefits as unemployment continues to rise. Of course, the stock market doesn't seem to care. I haven't looked at it in the last hour, but it was up again today. And the funniest thing to me about this all is right in front of our eyes, the globalists are getting richer and richer and richer. 50 million people filed for first-time unemployment benefits in the past few months. We got over 32 million right now, I believe, on continuing claims. A lot of bogus figures are given out on that saying, you know, I got to say, I mean, I'm sorry. I criticize Donald Trump when he says something that's boneheaded, and I'm not sure if they're giving him bogus numbers, if he's trying to spin bogus numbers, but when he says, we've got the greatest job growth, people have not ever seen anything like this before. Well, yeah, nobody had ever seen 30 million people lose their jobs in a number of weeks either. It's natural to assume you're going to have big job creation when you reopen. Those aren't created jobs. Those aren't jobs created that point to a strong economy. It's a portion of the jobs that have been lost are starting to come back, and that we lost them in absolutely record numbers. It's just, of course we're going to get some back in record numbers. I mean, I can't stand it when he says this kind of stuff. But people need to understand this. Here's an interesting story. Let me see if I can tie this together. I was impressed by this story. I'd never heard it before. And this is within context kind of how things work on a financial basis. I'm kind of struggling. I'll read the story to you first. This is called the Cobra Effect. And this just points out to kind of the perverse incentives that things like government policies do that create really bad unintended consequences. Like, for instance, back in 2008, we had a financial crisis, which was based largely on Wall Street recklessness. Instead of punishing them for that, we bailed them out. Instead of letting them suffer the consequences of their mistakes and their essential gambling, instead of letting them pay the consequences for that, we saved them. And somehow, they got away with it. And we're doing it 10 times right now, 10 times the size it was back in 2008. But anyway, so in response to that, the Federal Reserve and our government says, well, we got to have zero interest rates, because what 2008 was a debt crisis. Companies had so much debt and governments had so much debt, they were at risk of failing. So they shoved interest rates really low so that people could have, you know, these institutions, these corporations, these governments, everybody could afford to make payments on their debt. Well, what did it do? It saved a lot of institutions, because suddenly the debt that they had, they didn't have to pay much interest on it, so they could continue operations and pay the tiny, tiny amounts of interest they needed to pay on it. But it encouraged what? Anyone? More borrowing and more debt. This is what we've been doing for 12 years. We took a debt crisis in 2008, and we solved it with low interest rates, which created absolutely more debt, record increases in debt. So this is the kind of the unintended consequences of policies like that. See, you think that lowering interest rates when we go into a recession in 2008, 2009 is a great idea. Oh, that really helped. It helped the housing market. It helped all this stuff. No, it just made the problem worse. Here's the Cobra Effect, which I think is interesting. It's a story from India. As the story goes, there was once so many cobras in Delhi that a bounty was placed on each head. Each dead one delivered to the government. There were so many cobras in Delhi that a bounty was placed on each dead cobra delivered to the government. At first, it worked. But then entrepreneurs began breeding cobras to garner more income from the bounties. When the authorities figured out the scam, they canceled the program. The problem came with the breeders, who had large inventory of cobras, released them into the wild. With the demand, the bounty, for the snakes removed, the cobra population exploded worse than before. I think that's very interesting. It reminds me, when I read that story, it reminds me of the bounties. Do you know what Do you know what the United States did when they went into Afghanistan to rout out those radical jihadist terrorists? We went in, I believe the documentary you can watch on this that's really fascinating. I think it's called Taxi Cab or Taxi to the Dark Side, something like that. It was about a taxi driver, an innocent taxi driver, who was scooped up as a terrorist. Do you know why he was scooped up? When the United States went into Afghanistan, here was what our policy was. We offered $25,000, which I don't know if you've really seen a lot of pictures of Afghanistan. Not a whole lot of disposable income over there. So $25,000 was quite a lot of money. As a matter of fact, it was your money. I'll bet a lot of you would like to have an extra $25,000, but the geniuses in Washington, D.C. decided to take your taxpayer dollars and offer it as bounties in Afghanistan. Now, you may say to yourself, well, that sounds great. We got to round up these terrorists. I mean, that's why we're over there. They just hit us on 9/11, Mike. It was time to go over there and scoop up all those terrorists. Well, what do you think happened in Afghanistan when news went out that if you turn in somebody that you claim is a terrorist, you get $25,000? What do you think would happen in the United States if our government said, if you turn somebody in that you think is a terrorist, we'll give you $25,000? There would not be many of us still out in the general public. And so what happened in Afghanistan was a bunch of innocent people. I mean, think about it here in the United States. How many ex-wives or ex-husbands would be turning in their ex-wives or ex-husbands for that $25,000? I got to tell you, there would be a lot of, if you were divorced, you better be watching your six, because I guarantee you, in most cases, an ex-spouse would be turning you in as a terrorist in a heartbeat to collect the check and get you out of the scene. And so, of course, this happened in Afghanistan. A bunch of innocent people were implicated as being terrorists and scooped up. Now, not only was this a colossal waste of taxpayer dollars, not only did it scoop up a bunch of innocent people who were just accused of being terrorists. And again, Taxi to the Dark Side, I believe, is what the documentary you can watch on the stories about some of these people. Really heartbreaking stuff. They're scooped up, essentially no charges, in some cases tortured. But what do you think the net result of that was? Just imagine you are an innocent Afghanistan guy. You don't really have a problem with the United States. You know, you're driving a cab. You got a family at home. You want to make a soccer game. You got a child that's going to graduate from something. You got a birthday party, or maybe your daughter's getting married. These are the things that occupy your mind. You don't really care about the United States. Suddenly, the United States is in your country, and you think to yourself, well, we do have some kind of bad people around here, so let's just see. Maybe the U.S. can help us. Then all of a sudden, you're scooped up by the United States policy when they invade your country. How many terrorists do you think were created? People had no desire to lash out at the United States, but suddenly the U.S. comes in there and puts a bounty on their heads, even though they've done absolutely nothing wrong. So you end up creating a bunch of radicalized people because they've just been scooped up out of their normal lives and put into a cage. And this is what, you know, this kind of stuff taps at the heart of a libertarian, because this is why we realize, see, you think that if you just get a few more R's into office, they'll do the policies that work. Or if you get a few more D's, if you're on the Democratic side of things, we'll figure this stuff all out. And the perverse incentives, it doesn't matter if it is low interest rates from the Federal Reserve that has propped up a stock market and creating all of these different problems. It doesn't matter if it's bounties put on Afghani heads. It doesn't matter if it's cobras, a bounty put on cobras' heads by the Indian government. Every one of these things absolutely backfires. And now we are seeing a world flooded with money to get back to the Federal Reserve, and how perverse the incentives have become. People taking all these tremendous risks in the stock market. It's never been more expensive than it is right now. Even if those of you who lived through the 2000 stock market crash, the valuations on some of the stocks today are just as bad, if not worse, than they were in 2000. And it's these distortions created by all this free money that has created this complete divergence between the stock market and the underlying economy. And if you want to really know what's going on in the economy right now, I tell you what, take a look at the price of gold. Look at the price of gold and silver, and what's happening is the dollar is sinking. The more of it they print, the more at risk. And there may be a point. I don't know if it's now. I don't know if it's next year. I don't know if it's in 10 years or 20 years. But when they keep printing dollars, you can imagine if you had some kind of an, and please pardon my ignorance in this area. I'm not a big baseball historian or something. But if you had a Mickey Mantle rookie card and there were only five in the world and you were a collector, one of those five Mickey Mantle rookie cards would be worth a lot of money, right? What if there were 10 of them? Might be worth a little bit less. How about 100? Yeah, then it's not quite so special. What if there's 1,000 of them out there? What if there's 10,000 Mickey Mantle rookie cards out there? They're not worth a whole lot, are they? Because just about anybody can get a, maybe there are 10,000 of them floating out there. There's no difference in that and the dollars. They're printing up so much money that each one of the dollars that is already out there is becoming worth a little bit less and a little bit less and a little bit less. The dollar has lost 98% of its purchasing power since the Federal Reserve took over dollar printing in 1913. And you may see the last 2%. The last 2% where I got big problems, and that's why you're seeing gold and silver go up. Anyway, we have got a financial manipulation in this country right now that is, it's sad to see, because it's going to come at people from out of nowhere. People are buying into this idea that we're in a V-shaped economy, and because the stock market is going up, everything's fine. And the Democrats think if we can just print off a few trillion dollars more, and the Republicans say, no, we just want to print off $1 trillion more. I mean, this way lies madness. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I did last Thursday's show on Operation Legend. Now, I had a very... I take a lot of... out of the mainstream views on things, I guess I'll put it that way. And I don't know I've ever been more divergent from many people in the conservative side of things than my opinion on Operation Legend. Operation Legend, if you don't know by the name, it is Trump sending federal law enforcement into Portland, Chicago, is it St. Louis and Albuquerque, something like that. And I have problems with that. I understand everybody's desire to want to tamp down violence, and you hate to see this stuff going on in American cities, and you feel like you got to do something. I've got several problems with it. Number one, I don't want the federal government doing more stuff than it already does. And number two, when you go in, when you send federal law enforcement into Portland or into any city and you try to tamp down on stuff, first of all, you run a huge risk of something going wrong and it becoming a huge event that actually spurs more violence in the street. But at the same time, when you go in, if it works, then the city that allowed the violence, like Portland, like a Seattle, they don't learn their lesson. You actually become a scapegoat for it. If the liberals in Seattle, if they had gone in, if the Trump administration, to his great credit, he didn't do this, and I thought it was a great move. He didn't go in and bust up CHOP or CHAZ or whatever their little nut job experience was out there in Seattle. He didn't bust it up. Eventually, it fell to the liberal mayor, and she didn't do it until they came after her own house. But that exposes her, right? Exposes her as a bit of a hypocrite. It also shows, I don't know how long CHAZ or CHOP was around, the several weeks. There's a lot of shop owners that will not vote for that Democratic mayor again. They're going to vote for a Republican challenger. And when these cities have to learn a lesson, they have to see the consequences of their actions for them to ever change. If the federal government goes in there and puts a boot on their throat. Then they just sit back and go, well, we were just being peaceful, and they came in and rousted us, and this is why we hate Donald Trump even more. These cities are never going to change if you step in the way. What is, you know, I always hear a lot of the people that are Trump supporters talk about Sun Tzu. What's his name? Art of War? Sun Tzu? Here's one of his quotes I found. I actually looked at it because I attributed something to the wrong person. It was Napoleon that said this next one that I thought was Sun Tzu, but Napoleon said, never interrupt your enemy when he is making a mistake. And I mean, how many normal people, there are more, you know, kind of independent, middle of the road people out there than there are radicals. Just because the radicals get all the headlines, they're not the majority of people. There's a lot of normal people out there just trying to live their lives. And they look at the BLM and the Antifa violence and they are turned off. They are creating Republican voters just about every day. But as soon as you start sending in federal troops and then the BLM and liberals try to paint it as some kind of a Trump army going out there to fight, you turn them, instead of being the aggressive instigators of violence they are, you turn them into victims in a lot of people's minds. Let BLM and Antifa, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be taken, I mean, the city should react to these things. But if they don't, then these Democratic cities should pay the political price for it. And they will, because normal people in these cities are going to look around and say, what are these thug, soy boy, white kids in their black hoodies doing to our city? There's people in Portland and Seattle right now going, I'm liberal and all, but I don't know what this has to do with peace and love. These people are nuts. And they're rethinking their political affiliation. But when Trump sends in the troops, now those liberals who might have woken up to how poorly run their city was and how dangerous it is to allow these people to run wild in their house, now they're saying, oh, look at that. We got something else to blame Trump for. Anyway, the other... what was the Sun Tzu? Yeah, here it is. Sun Tzu says, ultimate excellence lies not in winning every battle, but in defeating the enemy without ever fighting. There's a lot in Sun Tzu about actually not fighting. And I think that's what you could do on the federal level. Let these cities show themselves for what they are. The citizens will get tired of the lawlessness. Now, look, Chicago's been having violent problems for forever and keep on electing the same nut jobs. I don't know why. Some people are slow learners, but a lot of these cities would understand that some of these soft-on-crime coddling of these people who are actually rioting, and I think they'd pay a price for it. But here's the reason I even bring it up today. I'm really alone on that. Most all conservatives across conservative talk radio love the idea of the feds going in and putting a boot on some throats because it is satisfying. You want to see Antifa arrested. I get it. It's just how you do it. And so I heard two arguments. I've had enough time now. I came on air and did just about my whole show. If you want to listen to my rationale of why I really oppose this idea of federal law enforcement now suddenly going in, it's like a lot of people on the conservative side of things were really excited about them designating Antifa as a terrorist organization. I'm warning you, a Democratic administration now will feel very at ease of designating things like the Proud Boys or Patriot groups as terrorist organizations. You see how that works? You give your guy a ton of power, and then people are shocked that the next guy uses it on you when it's in a different party. But I heard two things in the Republican response to this, so I think I've got a picture of exactly how former states' rights people, you know, a lot of conservatives love states' rights, well, until Trump wants to go against states' rights. Suddenly then you're not so much a states' rights guy. But I've got a picture of how you justify the new idea of federal law enforcement on a city against its will. The will of the city or the will of the state. Here was the first argument I heard. They're attacking federal buildings. Trump has every right to deploy forces to protect federal buildings. Okay, I'll tell you what. I agree with you there. You're right. I think that makes logical sense. Federal property in a city. But that's only a small percentage of this Operation Legend. Chicago's kids are not being killed at the federal courthouse. They're being killed in their neighborhoods and homes. So the troops being sent to Chicago are not to defend federal properties. That's number one. Next, It's terrorism, Mike. This is I'm recounting what I've heard across the conservative landscape here. I'm making my case. Obviously, take it and do with it what you will and make up your own mind. I know a lot of people are just very satisfied. They want this law and order, and they don't really care if the federal government has to grow in order to do it. I am consistent in that. I like law and order. I can't stand looters. I'm a big private property. So watching a shop burn at the hands of these nut jobs is heartbreaking to me, and they should be dealt with accordingly. But I've got a little bit of patience, and I'm not going to grow. I mean, it's like every problem we look at, if it doesn't grow, get done fast enough, the feds have got to take care of it. Even on the conservative side, the Republican side. When did that happen to the Republican Party? Anyway, so the idea that they're protecting federal courthouses is fine. I agree with you on that. But every time they go outside of that purview, which will be all of the Chicago operation, St. Louis operation, Albuquerque operation, this is about going in and addressing violence in cities. And again, do I want to see violence? No. But I don't want the federal government to get bigger to address it. These people at the local level have got to solve their own problems or they will never learn. Unless you're prepared to have a permanent federal police force put out across the entire country. Is that a new bureaucracy everybody's excited about now? So the next thing is, it's terrorism. This is what I heard. It's terrorism. What these protesters are doing is terrorism. But I got to tell you, if neighborhood gang violence in South Chicago is now terrorism, then what isn't? We're going to now start talking about terrorism. You don't think a President Elizabeth Warren would declare a right, I almost kind of a Freudian slip there, a right-wing group that open carries? You don't think a President Elizabeth Warren would declare that a terrorist organization? This idea of slapping terrorism on anything that you don't like. And look, this violence to the people. There have been people terrorized. That couple in St. Louis that stood in front of their house freaking out as they were armed. I'm sure they were scared to death. That's a terrifying event. But just slapping this idea of terrorism, the reason the government and politicians like you to use the term terrorism yourself is because they know that gives them power to do whatever they want. When you say terrorism, oh, suddenly they can use things like the NDAA, which means they can scoop people off the streets, lock them away with no charges, no legal counsel, indefinitely. You know, we have those laws in the United States, just like the Soviet Union did, and we seem to be okay with it for some reason. Quit slapping terrorism and everything. It's violence. It's violence, and there are already laws about that. That's the other thing about conservatives that I think is odd, you know, that we talk about immigration all the time, and a lot of conservatives are dead right. They say, why don't they just enforce the laws that are already there? Why don't need new laws? It's just like gun laws. We don't need new gun laws. Just enforce the laws that are there. If you shoot somebody, you go to jail for a long time. But when it comes back to terrorism, everybody wants a new law or a new thing done. No, just prosecute the people who are setting buildings on fire and torching businesses and threatening people and attacking people. And so this is what I see, and so that's my response to the two. It's terrorism is one, which I think is a very, very dangerous, very slippery slope, like a real steep slippery slope in the United States to start using terrorism against other Americans, because you have no idea the power the federal government has when it comes to terrorists, and you may love it when it's deployed against Antifa, but you are not going to like it when it is deployed against right-wing groups by a President Elizabeth Warren. And I can almost hear people saying, yeah, well, she'd probably do it anyway. Well, I mean, what kind of six-year-old logic is that? I'm going to do something wrong because there's a real good possibility that the next person's going to do something wrong anyway. I might as well do something wrong first. I mean, I can't believe that's where we are mentally, but it is where we are. Anyway, that's my rebuttal to that. We'll see how it goes. I know it's wildly popular. Boy, a lot of times I'm on an intellectual island out here, for good or bad. This one is probably, I'm just about as alone as I could possibly be on this island. I'm just telling you, I'm warning you, be careful what you wish for in federal law enforcement in these cities.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final few minutes of the show today. You can reach me, Mike Madison, at WYAB.com. If you've got anything interesting out there, I'm always surprised at what listeners send me, things that I miss. And I've got to tell you, I put a lot of time into research. I was talking to a friend yesterday about the show, and she was saying, I don't know how you do that, you know, all that research to fill up 2 hours. But I'm fast. I do the research anyway. If I wasn't doing a show, I mean, for years and years I've been paying attention to politics and financial markets and foreign policy. That's kind of my stuff. I don't know any stats. If I searched my mind, I could remember who won the Super Bowl last year, but it's an afterthought to me to that kind of stuff. You know, everyone's got their own interest. I've actually been getting more into sports during the pandemic. And it's been kind of interesting to watch. They really are kind of refreshing. And I realized I was watching this weekend, they had motorcycle racing, the high-speed stuff, not dirt track stuff, you know, where the guys are leaning over. I mean, they're almost leaning on. They got that knee out there just skidding along. It is fascinating to watch. That must be quite an experience, a terrifying experience at first. But they've also been playing a lot of professional lacrosse on television, and it did really hit me. You know, I think a couple of sports have probably really missed an opportunity. If they had just kind of grown a pair when everything was shutting down and there were no sports anywhere, if they had been that one thing to go out there and go, I mean, like these lacrosse guys, hey, guys, I know it's a little risky out there, but nobody pays attention. Apparently, there's professional lacrosse. I didn't even know this until this weekend. If they had just said, hey, guys, we can be the sport, you know, or the motorcycle racing, any of these kind of out there sports that aren't, you know, anything like basketball, football, baseball type stuff, if they had run out there and entertained us for the last 4 months, you probably would have seen whole new industries come over. You know, people getting into some of these guys who race motorcycles, getting into their favorite lacrosse player. I think they missed an opportunity. They're trying now, but they may be a little bit late to the game. But anyway, find anything interesting, send it to me, Mike Madison at WYEB.com, or you can go get the podcast, The Mike Madison Show at Podbean.com. That's all the time I got today. Have a great day. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.